this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God. You know, we're involved in a series of messages entitled People Jesus Met. And today we're going to watch as Jesus meets a group of people around the Sea of Galilee, and as he tells them a story, a parable that is all about how different people react in different ways when they hear the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. And so what we want to do is go back 2,000 years and see what Jesus told this crowd around the sea. And then we want to bring all that forward and we want to talk about, okay, so what difference does that make to you and me? So Luke chapter 8 is our passage and we begin at verse 4. Here we go. The Bible says, "And a large crowd gathered around Jesus, coming from town after town. So he told them this parable." And Matthew chapter 13, where the parable is also recorded, adds that all of this happened on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 5, here's our parable. "A sower went out to sow his seed." Now, in Jesus' day, farmers would take their seed to the field in a bag that they would hang in front of them around their neck. And they would scatter seed. They would sling seed in every direction as they walked. And the seed would fall on all kinds of soil. In fact, Jesus goes on to tell us about the four kinds of soil that the seed could fall on. Here we go. Verse 5. "As the farmer sowed, some seed fell along the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds ate it up." Now, this first kind of soil Jesus tells us about is hard soil. In ancient Israel, in the fields, there were footpaths about 3 feet wide, 4 feet wide, that interwove through the fields that the farmers walked on so they could get to their crops without trampling on them. And because of this heavy foot traffic, these paths became beaten down like asphalt, hard as a rock. And Jesus said that some of the seed fell here. But seed that fell here, Jesus said, was not able to take root. It just would lie on the surface of the ground until the birds came along and they ate it up. Verse 6, "And some other seed fell on rocky soil. But as soon as it sprouted, it withered away, since it could not get enough moisture from the soil." And Matthew 13 tells us why it couldn't get enough moisture from the soil. It was because, Matthew says, there was not much depth of soil here. Now, this second kind of soil Jesus tells us about is shallow soil. Israel is a country that's loaded with limestone. And in many places in Israel, even to this day, there is a solid bedrock of limestone covered by an inch of dirt or 2 inches of dirt. A seed that falls here would sprout very quickly in the sun, but when the hot, dry weather comes, the seed can't send its roots down deep to get the moisture it needs to survive because of that solid bedrock of limestone, and so the seed simply withers and dies. Verse 7, "And other seed fell among the weeds, and the weeds grew up with it and choked it out." The third kind of soil that Jesus tells us about is contaminated soil. As soon as the seed sprouts and begins to grow, these weeds begin to grow right alongside of it, and eventually they overpower the seed, and they literally choke the seed off so that it dies. Verse 8, "And other seed fell on good soil and bore fruit." And Matthew 13 adds, "Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some fruit 30-fold." Now, this fourth kind of soil Jesus tells us about is good soil. It's soft enough to take the seed in. It's not hard soil. And it's deep enough to allow the seed to take root. It's not shallow soil, and it's clean enough to allow the seed to prosper. It's not contaminated soil. And so the seed bursts to life, Jesus says, and it bears lots and lots of fruit. Verse 8, and when Jesus had finished speaking, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now you say, "Lon, what in the world is he talking about here? What does all this mean?" Well, the disciples had the very same issue. In fact, verse 9 says the disciples asked him what the parable meant. And the thing I love about this parable is that Jesus doesn't leave us guessing as to what it really meant. He actually interprets it for us. Verse 11, Jesus said, "This is the meaning of the parable." Okay, great. Here we go. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the message of the gospel. And what is the message of the gospel? Just to make sure all of us are on the same page with this. Friends, the gospel message is that Jesus Christ is God wrapped in human flesh, that he died for our sins on the cross, that God offers forgiveness of sin freely to the whole world, but that the only way we can avail ourselves of that forgiveness is by personal faith in Jesus Christ and personal reliance on his atoning work on the cross. This is the gospel. And please notice in our story about spreading the gospel that what the variable is in Jesus' story. The variable in his story is not the quality of the seed, and the variable in his story is not the skill of the sower. The variable in Jesus' story is the condition of the soil. And this is a critical point we must understand, that each of these four soils represents a spiritual condition of the human heart, which, Jesus says, determines how a person will respond to the gospel when they hear it. Friends, whenever you and I go out and sow the gospel, every person we meet will be one of these four soils. And to make it a little more personal, every single one of us here listening, we are one of these four soils here today. Okay, so let's look at Jesus' explanation of each of these soils to us. Soil number one is the hard soil. Verse 12, Jesus said, "The seed that fell along the road are those who hear, but then the devil comes along and takes the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." The hard soil represents spiritually hard people. The message of the gospel, the seed of the gospel, doesn't penetrate this person's heart at all because their heart is too hard. It's like spiritual asphalt. It's like that beaten down soil on those paths in between the crops. Jesus says that this is a person who knows nothing of repentance, who knows nothing of contrition for sin. They know nothing of shame for sin or guilt for sin or sorrow for sin. This person, when the message of Christ falls on their life, for a moment it sits on the surface, but because it has no place to go, the devil comes along and snatches it away, just like those birds in Jesus' story. Now, we all know people like this, don't we? Yeah, we do. We live with people like this. We work with people like this. We go to school with people like this. We spend Thanksgiving with people like this. These are people who have zero spiritual interest, and they're proud of it. Soil number two is the shallow soil. Verse 13, the seed that fell on the rocky soil, Jesus says, are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. However, since they have no firm root in them, they believe for a while, but they fall away in times of testing. The shallow soil represents spiritually unprepared people, people whose soul is not yet ready for the gospel, people who still have a rock bed of self, a rock bed of spiritual limestone right below the surface that the Holy Spirit has never been allowed to break up in their lives. These are people who have never known the shattering conviction of the Holy Spirit that drives people to repentance for sin, true godly repentance. And Jesus said, a lot of times when these people hear the gospel message, they take it in with enthusiasm and excitement, and they sprout so fast that we say, wow, they must be real. This must be real. But friends, the seed has no place to go. It can't flourish. It can't get deeply rooted because of this unbroken bedrock of self in their life. And so when the sun starts getting hot, when the pressures and the trials of the true Christian life set in, this person withers. And a year later, we can't find them. And we say, well, they lost their salvation. Or we say, well, they're backslidden as a Christian. Friends, no, they're not. The truth of the matter is, according to Jesus' parable, they were never really saved in the first place. You know, I've prayed the sinner's prayer with such people. I've baptized such people. I've married such people. I've counseled with such people. I've spent hours and hours with such people, only to see them a year later, 2 years later, they're gone, and you can't find them anywhere. You say, well, Lon, how does that make you feel? Well, it makes me feel terrible. That's how it makes me feel. But I'm sure glad I know the truth of this parable. I'm sure glad I know that the seed didn't fail because it fell on this kind of soil. And that I, as the sower, didn't fail because I came across this kind of soil. The problem was not with the seed, and the problem was not with the sower. The problem was with the condition of the soil. I'm glad I know that. Soil number three is the contaminated soil. Verse 14. Jesus said, the seed that fell among the weeds stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life choke the seed so that it does not mature and produce fruit. Notice we haven't seen any fruit so far, okay? And we don't see it with this soil. The contaminated soil represents spiritually divided people, spiritually bifurcated people. What we have here is what the Bible calls, James 1:8, a double-minded person. A person who wants to hold on to God with one hand and who wants to hold on to the things of the world with the other hand. What we have here is a person that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6, verse 24, when he said, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. Friends, true salvation only comes when people are willing to forsake all that the world has to offer. Money, power, fame, prestige, success, and when they are willing to follow Jesus Christ fully, without hesitation or without reservation, full salvation, true salvation, is only for people who hold on to God with both hands. And people with soul number three, they're just not willing to do that. Now, we all know people like this too, don't we? In fact, in America, they populate churches by the thousands every single weekend. They sit in the church seats, but during the week, these people don't share Christ with anybody because of they're worried what it might cost them in terms of their career or their reputation. During the week, these people, they don't practice biblical obedience because they're not willing to pay the sacrifices that they've got to pay in their lifestyle and in their personal comfort to obey God fully. These people, they don't give sacrificially to the work of the Lord because they love their money too much. We often call these people carnal Christians. And we say, well, they've just gone flatline. They're carnal Christians. No, they're not carnal Christians. Friend, they're not Christians at all. That's what Jesus says. These are non-Christians whose love for the things of this world chokes off the power of the gospel in their life like a huge spiritual weed for them. It is self, self, self. That's the true God of their life. Ah, but that brings us to soil number four. Oh, I'm sure glad soil number four is in here. Soil number four is the good soil. Verse 15, and the seed that fell on good ground, Jesus says, stands for those who have an honest and a good heart, who hear the word, look at this, who hold fast to it and steadfastly bear, what's the next word? Fruit. Aha, we got fruit. Praise the Lord. We got some fruit. The fourth soil here, the good soil, represents spiritually fertile people. These are people, the soil of whose heart God has fully prepared by the Holy Spirit. These are people who have soft soil, and they have clean soil, and they have deep soil, and they have beautifully receptive soil to the Word of God because of the Holy Spirit's work in their heart. And as a result, when the seed falls on that soil, the Bible says it bears fruit. Matthew 13 says some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, but good soil always bears fruit. And this is true salvation, soil number four. Friends, the proof of salvation is not foliage, it's fruit. The fruit of a transformed earthly life, being a new creature in Christ. The fruit of biblical obedience and a zeal for that in our life. The fruit of a love for the Word of God and a love for prayer. The fruit of a genuine desire to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Fruit, fruit, fruit means salvation, salvation, salvation. So let's summarize. What have we learned so far? Well, in the parable of the four soils, Jesus says that when you and I go out and share the gospel, we'll come across hard soil and we'll go away discouraged. And we'll come across shallow soil and we'll get all excited when it first springs up, and then when it dies away, we'll go, oh, shoot. And then we'll come across contaminated soil. And we'll invest in them, and we'll invest in them, and we'll invest in these people, but they will never let go of the world. And at this point, we're all beginning to wonder, is it really all worth it? Ah, but Jesus said, I just want to assure you, you'll also come across out there some good soil. And when you come across that good soil, and you sow the seed on that good soil, that seed will sprout and root and grow and bear fruit, amazing fruit. And it'll make it all worth it, all the other soils, when you find one person with good soil. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage, because we want to stop now and we want to ask our most important question. So are you ready? You sure? All right, here we go. All of you people out on the internet, one, two, three.
So what?
You say, Lon, so what? See, I think I got what the parable's talking about, and I appreciate that, but honestly, I don't really see what this has to do with me exactly. Well, let's talk about that. You know, this parable demands, I believe, that all of us here need to do some spiritual examination in two ways. And here they are. Way number one, I believe this parable demands, first of all, that we all ask ourselves the question, what kind of soil am I? I mean, remember we said earlier that every single one of us here is one of these four soils today. So I think it behooves us to do some examination and try to figure out what kind of soil we are. Now, some of us here today are hard soil. Probably not too many of us, or we wouldn't be here. We'd be out playing golf or riding our bicycle. But you know, a few of us got dragged in here by a spouse or a parent or a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend today, and we're sitting there going, what am I doing here? I don't believe any of this. How long is he going to go on up there? A lot more of us here today are people who are outwardly sympathetic to Christianity. I mean, we've been a churchgoer much of our life. We've put a little money in the offering plate, and we know a little bit of theology, and we've served a little in the church. But our lives don't show the true fruit of salvation. We have no radical spiritual transformation of our earthly life. We have no true intimacy with God. We have no love for His Word, no desire to pray, no passion to share Christ with other people, and no joy in our Christian experience. And friend, if this is you, the problem is either that you're soil number two with an unbroken rock bed of self in your life, or you're soil number three with the weeds of worldliness in your life. But regardless, whether you're soil one, two, or three, the bottom line is still the same. According to Jesus' parable, you are not born again. You are not a true child of God. You are not headed for heaven. You say, well, Lon, if that's true, then there are a whole lot less people headed to heaven than most of us think. Well, you're right. I think that's right. And I worry, I really do, about the fact that there are people I know who come here week after week after week and sit here and think that they're born again and think that they're going to heaven. But the truth is that they're spiritually flatlined. The truth is there's no fruit whatsoever in their life. They're soil 1, 2, or 3, and they're not born again and going to heaven. And maybe you've been forced today to conclude that this is you. Well, my hope is that if you've concluded that, you'll realize what you need. You need a change of soil. You need a change of heart. And my prayer is that you'll turn to God and you'll allow God and ask God to do that in you so the seed of the gospel can take root in your heart and really bear the fruit that born-again people bear. Now you say, well, Lon, I understand that. But you know what? Honestly, in evaluating my life, I'm soil number 4. I mean, I'm not perfect, and I'm not sinless, but I mean, there's the real fruit of salvation is really in my life. I'm soil number 4, so what does all this have to do with me? Well, remember I said there were 2 ways in which we needed to do self-examination, remember? And this is the second way. If you're really good soil, if you're really a believer in Christ, then the second way we need to examine ourselves is by asking, how much fruit am I bearing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember what Matthew 13 said. It said that good soil bears fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. In other words, all good soil produces fruit, but not all good soil produces the same amount of fruit. And I really believe that the Lord Jesus wants you and me not to be content to produce 30-fold, and he doesn't want us to be content to produce 60-fold even, but that he wants us to go for 100-fold. And I believe we should want to do that. I believe if you're a true believer in Christ, your goal should be, my goal should be to say, Lord Jesus, squeeze out of me every bit of fruit that I'm possibly able and capable of producing. Lord, squeeze it out of me. And so if you're here today and you're saying, gosh, Lon, man, you've really scared me. You know, maybe I'm not really good soil because I had a pretty bad day yesterday. You know, I'm here to say, hey, friend, you can't judge it on having a good day or a bad day. You judge it on whether you hold on to the word and you steadfastly over time bear fruit. And if you're good soil, you may look like a sine wave, but nonetheless, friend, there is fruit running right through the middle of it for all the years you've been a believer. That's good soil. Doesn't mean we shouldn't strive for more, but it certainly means that we ought to relax and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this has been a tough message, a hard message. You know what? That's good. We need hard messages sometime. We need to be forced to do self-examination sometime. And we need to make sure, God knows we need to make sure we're good soil. It's too big a risk not to. May God help us. Lord Jesus, wow. I mean, this parable sticks it to us right between the eyes. And yet, thank you for doing that, Lord. Because if we're soil 1, 2, or 3, we need to be exposed to ourselves so that we can get that before you. We can seek Christ and you can change our soil. And Lord, even if we're soil 4, we need to bring before you the issue of how much fruit we're willing to pay the price to produce. And Lord, I pray that you would bring all of us to the point that we will pay any price to produce maximum fruit for the Lord Jesus in our lives. Lord, take your word today and stuff it deep in our heart and change the very way we see ourselves and the very way we live because of our contact with the Word of God today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And what did God's people say? Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, LonSolomonMinistries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?